John chapter 9, the ninth chapter of the book of John. I heard about two men who were talking together, and one of them said the problem with the church today is twofold. First of all, there's a lack of understanding, and secondly, there's apathy. And then he said to his friend, "What do you think?" And he said, "I don't know, and I don't care." Well, we pray that tonight, when you go out of this place, you'll know and you'll care concerning the things that we're going to talk about. John chapter 9, we have to read you the whole chapter for you to get the story. It's more important that you hear what God has to say than what I have to say. And it says, "As Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, 'Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?' Jesus answered, 'Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world.' When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, 'Go wash in the pool of Siloam,' which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. The neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, 'Is not this he that sat and begged?' Some said, 'This is he.' Others said, 'He is like him.' But he said, 'I am he.' Therefore said they unto him, 'How were thine eyes opened?' He answered and said, 'A man that is called Jesus made clay, anointed my eyes, and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight.' Then said they unto him, 'Where is he?' He said, 'I know not.' They brought him to the Pharisees, him that aforetime was blind, and it was a Sabbath day, when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him, how he had received his sight. He said unto them, 'He put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed, and do see.' Therefore, said some of the Pharisees, 'This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath.' Others said, 'How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles?' And there was a division among them. They say unto the blind man again, 'What sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes?' He said, 'He is a prophet.' But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called his parents, the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked him, saying, 'Is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see?' His parents answered them and said, 'We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. By what means he now seeth, we know not, or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself.' These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, 'He is of age, ask him.' Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, 'Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner.' He answered and said, 'Whether he is a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see.' Then said they to him again, 'What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes?' He answered them, 'I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples?' Then they reviled him and said, 'Thou art his disciple. We are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is.' The man answered and said unto them, 'Why herein is a marvelous thing that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing.' They answered and said unto him, 'Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us?' And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, 'Dost thou believe in the Son of God?' He answered, 'Who is he, Lord, that I might believe in him?' And Jesus said unto him, 'Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee.' And he said, "The Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. And Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into the world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind." Some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, "Are we blind also?" Jesus said unto them, "If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, 'We see.' Therefore your sin remaineth." I want to read also two verses in the 20th chapter of John. You don't need to turn to it. I'll read them for you. In the 20th chapter, the last two verses says, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing ye might have life through his name." The Apostle John wrote this, and he said, these things are written. He wrote 8 or 9 miracles in his book of John. He said in the next chapter that if all the things about God were written, even the world could not contain the books. But out of those things, he chose 8 or 9 miracles that he has in his book, and he says, the reason I've written down is that you might believe that Jesus is a Christ, and believing you might have life through his name. I point that out to point how important these miracles in John are. John, who said he couldn't write them all if he filled the world with books, writes down these that you and I might know these truths. You know, you and I are blessed by getting the Word of God in the day in which we live from the Bible. Much more blessed than those walked about in those days. You see, if you'd have been there when this man was healed in those days, if you'd have been in the world, you'd have seen a little bit of what happened, and you could have read about it in the paper the next day, and what they would have told you about, they'd have told you the name of the man that was healed, they'd have told you his parents' name, they'd have told you some of the Pharisees that were there, they'd have given you a survey of the crowd as to how they felt about it, they'd have given you all of this kind of news, but you would not have known what God wants you to know. God wants you to know the man was blind. He wants you to know that the Lord had compassion on him and healed him. He wants you to know that the man himself did nothing. He asked nothing. He simply, by faith, did what God told him. And he was blessed. We'd want you to know that the Pharisees and Jewish leaders were unhappy about it. You and I are blessed because God puts in his word exactly what we need to know, no more or no less. So we learn the things that God would have us to know. You see, if you'd have been there, you'd have had your eyes fixed on things probably that weren't important. But now you can see what God wants you to learn. And so the Bible is a blessing to you and I. And so we see in the first verse that our Lord is passing by, and he sees this man who was blind from his birth. And that is proven later by the parents, of course. And spiritually speaking, that's true of everyone in this room. It's true of everyone that's born into this world. Every single individual is born into this world blind. Until they come to know Christ as their personal Savior, they're spiritually blind. And if you're here and you've never taken Christ as your personal Savior, you're more blind spiritually than this man was physically. The only way that you can see is by accepting Christ as your personal Savior. That's the way that you see. That's the way that you come to know God truly. That's the way you come to know Christ. There's lots of ways to come to Christ. There's only one way to come to God, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the disciples ask, who did sin, this man or his parents? And Jesus answered in verse 3, and he said, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents. Now the disciples understood that sin is caused oftentimes, or sickness is caused oftentimes, by sin. We read about that in the day in which we live. Look at how many children are born with AIDS. Look at how many children are born dope addicts. Look at how many children are born alcoholics because of their parents drinking and doing these things while they're carrying them. And so you see, it's possible that it could have been caused by sin. Everything in the world that's bad is ultimately caused by sin, isn't it? God didn't bring anything bad into the world. God brought joy and perfectness into the world. Man brought the sin into the world. But he says, they ask, who did sin, this child or this boy or man, young man, or his parents. Now that seems funny. If he was blind from birth, how could he have sinned? But the disciples used to believe in that day, or at least the Jewish people often believed, and perhaps the disciples did, that a child could perform iniquity in the womb. And they used as an illustration, you remember the story of Jacob and Esau, how he grabbed the heel of him in the womb. And you see, so they believed that a child could express his will in the womb. But at any rate, the Lord answers, and he says that neither had sinned. Now, he didn't mean that neither were sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But what he meant, that neither of them had sinned to cause this particular problem. And many times, you and I in life, we ask the question, why does this child suffer? Why is this child born blind? Why is this child born a cripple? Why do these things happen? And we don't understand all of these things. We don't understand why they happen. But the question should really be, what can be done about it? What can be done about the particular thing? You see, and God teaches us in His Word that although sin can come into this world, although sin has come in this world, sin separates us from God. And the only way that we can really have the question of what can be done about it is to come back to God. That's the way we do it. You see, God made us for joy. And He tells us that we can fellowship with Him and we can have our joy full if we come back to Him. And so we see that oftentimes we like to know who's to blame. They wanted to know whose fault it was. But the Lord seemed to say what was done for the problem, is what was really important. And Paul seems to suggest that that's true for you and I. You could say, well, I did this in the past, and I did that in the past. But what can you do about that? You can't do anything about the past. And Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind and looking forward to those things that are before. And we encourage you, if you're here tonight without Christ, make this the first day of your life, like they said. Come to Christ today. You can't do anything about the yesterdays. And you can do very little about the tomorrows. You handle them when you get there. But you can do something about your soul's salvation. I wonder if you've ever thought of the fact that this young man, one of the first people that he ever saw was the Lord Jesus Christ. Wasn't the first person. You remember they asked Fanny Crosby, that famous hymn writer. They said, well, how do you feel about being born blind? And her answer was, the first face that I'll ever see will be the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you see, we don't know why she was blind, and we don't know why this young man was blind, but we see there was a compensation for both of them. And I think of another blind man who said, I have not seen the beauty that you have seen, but neither have I seen the dark and unlovely things of life, the sad and angry faces. And many times in our life, we don't understand why God allows in His great wisdom the things that happen in our life. But you and I can be sure, we can be assured that God makes no mistakes. God doesn't make mistakes. And God will never allow His child a needless tear. And you and I can't understand it here. But there, we may well thank Him most for the things that we appreciated least here. And again, I remind you that the Lord saw him before ever he realized the presence of the Lord. You see, sometimes we say to people, you need to seek the Lord to be saved. Well, you don't need to seek the Lord. The Lord's seeking you. The Lord wants you to be saved. The Lord is seeking you. He's waiting for you to accept his offer of salvation. It's good to remember that this fellow didn't even know about the Lord. He didn't know the Lord was coming by. But the Lord saw him. And you notice that in verses 4 and 5, the Lord said to the disciple, ye are the light of the world. Here he says in verses 4 and 5, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. But he says to another place to the disciples, ye are the light of the world. And I don't know if you've ever thought of it, but that's what we are as Christians here in this world. You see, in glory, you and I are not going to be able to speak or go for the Lord Jesus. We're not going to be able to win souls to Christ in glory. There won't be any souls there to be saved. There won't be any sinners there. We won't be able to comfort. We won't be able to comfort a sorrowing. There will be no sorrow there. We won't be able to help the sick. There won't be any sick there. We won't be able to meet a financial need for a friend there. But here we can be the light of the world. Here we can speak for Christ. Here we can manifest Christ to those round about. And we can be a blessing as a result of that. And now we see in our story that the Lord stoops down and he spits in the ground. He makes clay of the spittle and he puts it upon the blind man's eyes. Now I can tell you that didn't make him see any better. Some of you know Naomi that's in the Man of War assembly. She's blind, but she tells me when she's in a lighted room, she knows. She knows when it's daytime or when it's night because there's a little difference in the light that she sees. But she's totally blind. But if you took the clay and put it upon his eyes, he'd be more blind than he was before. And some have suggested that this simple act pictures our Lord coming into this world in a body of clay. He had come from his home in heaven, and he'd come into a body of clay. The eternal God was born into a body just like yours and mine. For 33 and a half years, he was a captive in a body just like ours. He was a baby. He was a toddler. He was all of these things. We're told that it was so that he could be a merciful and faithful high priest. But nonetheless, he was in a body just like ours. But although he did that in great humbleness to be a blessing to us in the salvation of our souls, at first, it caused greater darkness, didn't it? The Jewish people couldn't understand why the King of Kings would come in that way, and so they didn't accept him as their Messiah. And even God's people, they couldn't understand why he should suffer and die at Calvary's cross. Just read in the last chapter of Luke how they were walking on the road to Emmaus, and they said, "We don't understand when the Lord walked. We don't understand why these things happen." And of course, the Lord opened the scriptures to them. And then they understood. But the Bible tells us the preaching of the gospel is to them that perish what? Foolishness. And as they saw the Lord stoop down and spit and put that clay on his eyes, to the casual observer, they would have said, "What a dumb thing to do. That's not any help at all." But the Lord then said to this man, "Go and wash." In every miracle in the book of John, God says, the Lord spoke simple things. He said when he performed the miracle of turning the water of wine, "Fill the water pots." And then he said, "Take it to the governor of the feast." He said when he fed the 5,000, he said, have them sit down. And then he told the disciples to distribute. You see, God uses others here in this world, but he said to him, "Go and wash." It was such a simple thing. And yet it required faith, didn't it? God hadn't promised him anything. This man hadn't asked for anything. But God said to him, "Go and wash." What had the clay done? It had brought attention to the fact of his blindness. It had brought attention to how blind he was. And you see, that's how simple salvation is. You see, God brings attention to the fact that you're a sinner in his word. That's how simple it is. You have the attention brought to the fact that you're a sinner and you need to be saved. And then all you have to do is what? Just simply in faith say, "Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner." And you and I that know Christ as our personal Savior, we're working out our own salvation. We're working on our way to glory, aren't we? We're preparing for eternity. That's our job here in this world, to know Christ, to prepare for eternity. And it's just as simple for us. We just take his word. We take his word day by day, and we do what he says for us to do. We just follow what he says in simple faith. You remember how that the story of Naaman, that man who was a leper, the head of all the armies, but he was a leper. And he went down to Elisha because a little maid said, "If you go down, you'd be healed." Nobody had ever been healed of prophecy. I mean, of leprosy, but she said, "If you go down, the prophets in Samaria heal you." She didn't say maybe or possibly. She said he'd heal you. So he went down. And Elisha came out and told him to go dip in the Jordan River 7 times. A.T. Gibbs used to call it seven ducks in a muddy river. But he didn't want to go down. He said if he'd asked, and the servant said if he'd asked you to do something hard, wouldn't you have done it? And when he, in simple faith, went down and dipped seven times, six times nothing happened, seventh time he came up, his skin was like a baby's. And you see, the miracle points out the fact, both that miracle and our miracle points out the fact that the power is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He supplies the power. What we supply is the faith. That's all that you and I have to supply. He said, go and wash. The one who was sent into the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, sent him to the pool, and the name of the pool is called Sent. And when he went, he was healed. And when you and I take God at his word, we're blessed. Whether we're saved or unsaved, when we take God at his word, the words that come to us from God, when we take them, then we'll be blessed. And the neighbors, they could hardly believe it. You know, there's a difference when somebody is blind. You see there's an emptiness in their eyes, but now the emptiness was all gone. And they saw that he could see, and it was a change. And that's still so. When the soul is truly saved, there's a change. When somebody who was blind can now see, it's a wonderful change. And people will notice. And so they question, is not this he who sat and begged? Some of them weren't sure. But he said, I am he. I am he. And so in our story, they said, he is like him. He said, I am he. Not the same man, and yet the same man. He could now see. He no longer had to beg. When one is saved by God, he or she is now in the family of God. And they no longer, as it were, have to beg. We no longer have to seek blessings from others. Now we're in God's family. Now we're in the family of the King, and we can be a blessing to others. That's the wonder of being a Christian. You don't have to beg. You can be a blessing to others. You remember what Peter and John, when they were going into the temple, and there was a man there, and he asked him for money. He said, alms, alms. One little girl heard that message. He said he asked for arms and they gave him legs. But anyway, he said alms. He wanted money. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. Rise up and walk. He had him to walk. And you know, dear friend, tonight, you know what I can do for you? You see, if I was staying with one of the Christians here, and they had a couple extra bedrooms, and I go out and I see a man walking around that doesn't have a place to live. I said, come on and live up here. They got lots of bedrooms, and they got money and so forth. You see, they may not look on that favorably. But God tells me to tell you that you can come and live with him in heaven, in the palaces of heaven. I have the right to tell you that tonight. If you put your trust in him, God says that he wants you to come and to live with him. And they asked him, how did you get healed? He said, I went, I washed, I received sight. He said, he applied the clay, I applied the faith, and I can see. And you see, that's just how simple it is, and that's a wonderfully simple testimony. You know, sometimes I ask people, would you give your testimony? And they say, oh, I couldn't get up and preach. I don't want you to preach. I'll take care of the preaching. I just want you to give your testimony. You know, when you give your testimony, you tell what happened. That's all. And that's what this man did. He told what happened. And you'd be surprised, dear saint of God, if every day you tell somebody how the Lord saved you, you'd be surprised how many people would be blessed as a result of it. You don't have to preach to them. Just tell them what happened. You were a sinner going to hell. Now you're a saint going to heaven. That's pretty good, isn't it? You and I should be willing to share that. I want you to notice that the man did not know who had healed him. He believed by faith, but he didn't know who had healed him. And until you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't need to know a lot about him. All you need to know is that he's willing to save. When you put your trust in him, he'll wash your sins away. This man took Jesus at his word, and he received sight. And that's still true today. You'll take him at his word, you'll receive sight spiritually. And they said, who did it? He said, I don't know, but what I do know is whereas I was blind, now I see. And it's a wonderful thing. You see, others can rant and rave and say, I don't believe in that salvation. I don't believe you're going to heaven. I don't believe that's true. It don't make any difference. Why should I be concerned about it? That's their problem. That's not my problem. I know I'm saved. He said, I know I can see. You can tell me it isn't so, but I know. And you see, the wonderful thing is that when you put your trust in Christ, you can know that your sins are put away. You can know the mercy of God. They wanted to know how it happened, and it's wonderful to know how it happened, but that's not so important, is it? And this man, they ask him. They ask him, who was the healed you? And first of all, he said he was a prophet. Then he said he's God. And finally, he worshiped him as the Son of God. You know, it's interesting that as his faith seemed to grow, they believed him less. They didn't even believe that he was the same man who had begged and had been blind. They did not believe his parents. And they didn't believe his testimony. And how many times in life we find that's exactly the way it is. People will not believe the facts. He was standing in front of them. The one who'd been blind and could see, and they still didn't believe. When I was at camp some years ago, there was a girl who had been saved when she was a teenager at camp and was now back as a counselor. And I was talking to her, and she was telling me that her folks went to church on a regular basis, but they were not believers. And when she came to camp and got saved, she said she got saved from a life where she caused them nothing but trouble. She was a real problem in the home. And when she got saved, she changed. She became helpful in the home. Her whole life changed around. And her parents owned the fact that she was a much better girl. She told others, and showing love and kindness in the home. And yet they would not believe. And they tried to get her to denounce her faith. And finally, they forced her out of the home. They would not believe the facts. And that's why it's so important for you and I as Christians to live lives that are factual Christian lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. When people see us, they'll see something of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then finally, you notice in those last verses, this young man says to them, if he were not of God, could he have healed me? He said, do you know of a time when anybody's been healed of blindness? Since the beginning of time, can you tell me of a time? You're the leaders. If this man is able to heal, you ought to know who he is. Why are you asking me who he is? And they didn't like that, you see. But you see, the thing is that when you've been blind, and now you see, you know. And it doesn't matter what others think, you know. And so you and I have the privilege of taking God simply at his word. And taking his word and putting our trust in him for our salvation and for our day-to-day care. And like this one, this man in our story, we do it simply by faith. We just simply take him at his word. You know, we like to test all of it. Show us, they said. You know, tell us more about it. And he said, this is the one thing I know. I was blind, and now I see. And if you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight as your Savior, you'll be able to say, I never understood what you were talking about, but now I see. Why? Because the eternal Son of the eternal God has taken you to be his own. God the Father has made you part of the family. You've been born again into the family of God. If you'll but trust him, we pray that it might be so for his name's sake. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the privilege of gathering in thy presence. We thank thee for everyone in this room. Thou knowest the needs of every heart. We pray that thy Spirit will take the things that have been brought before them this evening in music and in words and implant them upon their hearts and make them of value. We pray that no one in this room may go to a lost eternity. We do believe, our God, that thy son's coming again is very soon. We ask, our God, that thou would bless this place tonight in a very special way. We pray if any would desire to know more about these things, that thou would give them the courage to stay behind and talk with us. But if they know how to be saved, we pray, our God, that thou would give them no peace or satisfaction. Until they come to know him whom to know is life eternal. Turn on the light, we pray, our God, for them tonight, if they're willing. We pray that thy Spirit may strive with them to make them so. So our God and Father, we ask now that thou would part us with thy blessing again. We commend each one that has been mentioned for prayer into thy care. Pray that thou would give us a good night of rest and bless us in the morrow if thy son be not come. We ask it in his name.